To the Pinstripe Podcast. Scotty, what's going on?
Mix of emotions.
We are right where we knew we were going to be. But at what cost?
Yep.
You know, it's tough to not want to just jump right into the ALCS. But I feel like we have to do the due diligence of talking through the ALDS. Do you agree?
Yeah.
First of all, before we even talk about the baseball of it, I don't know if you felt this same way. I feel this way a lot of the times whenever the Yankees are on a national broadcast, but I literally had to check if Bob Costas was from Cleveland. The way that he acted like the Yankees had absolutely no shot at winning any game. And I know that Costas knows absolutely nothing about baseball, but I was like, dude, give the Yankees a little bit of credit here.
Yeah, it wasn't, honestly, it wasn't even that, you know, he seemed favorable of Cleveland. He also just was terrible. Like,
oh, yeah.
Overall,
he was
terrible.
He was absolutely.
You always saw the memes of it.
Garbage. Oh, where he's like, and the rain will represent the sorrows of the team. Like, and that's a strike from Cole.
Yeah, no, it's things like that. And then there was one of a Bob Costas drinking game that was so funny that I saw. It said take a sip, take a shot, finish your drink, three different levels. Take a sip was like if he mentions anything before 1950. And they're like, if it happens, things that happen so often that like you would actually die if you took anything more.
I was getting in game one. I don't know if we talked about this last week, but like, I was getting so annoyed throughout the whole series. They kept on talking about like Aaron Boone's connection to his grandfather playing for Cleveland. Hey, I don't give a fuck. We have playoff baseball going on in front of us.
I was saying, I think I was watching game four as well with some of my friends, and I looked at them and I go, do you think Bob Costas is going to mention how Emmanuel Class A's cutter just naturally moves and it's not actually a special kind of cutter? And you're like, every time he pitched, they mentioned it.
So, and I understand they're like, oh, this is for, you know, the casual viewer. First of all, I don't know how many casual viewers playoff
would
baseball
watch.
Really.
Yankees Cleveland
divisional
series. I think there's a fine line of, I think playoff baseball draws more viewers, but New York Cleveland I don't think draws as many viewers as some of these others.
If it was New York Tampa Bay
later
New
on,
York, if it was I New think, York Tampa Bay or Toronto, yeah,
but I think as well, even with that, now you're looking at Yankee Houston, that's going to have more popularity. Even on the other side of Philly, San Diego, it's just a little farther in the playoffs that I think it will grab more attention
to
these people.
The CSs will grab significantly more significantly more casual viewers, and obviously the World Series the most probably, than the divisional series or the wild card series. Like, I can't imagine. There was definitely probably an uptick, but I can't imagine there was a huge uptick in every game of both of those rounds. But what do I know? We don't know the numbers. But that in itself was frustrating. On the field, however, frustrating that we had to go to five.
Yeah, frustrating that we had to go to really 7 days or 9 days, whatever the heck.
I was trying to explain that to my one roommate. One of my roommates, very into baseball. My other roommate, not super into baseball. And I'm trying to explain why it's so fucked, why all this happened. I'm like, we had a stupid built-in off day that would have been a beautiful day to play. Then we got pushed back a day. And then the Garrett Cole start, it was raining. Cole's second start,
Cleveland,
raining in Cleveland. It, like, wasn't just, like, spitting. Like, it was pretty consistent.
It was coming
rain.
Down. He was getting dirt off his cleats.
And I was
constantly.
I was like, oh no, 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 no. This isn't looking good. And then to have to be pushed back again. And the worst thing about that all, I personally think, is two things. One, they didn't refund tickets for people who couldn't make a 4:07 start. And the fact that it was basically a game, like a winner take all game at 4:00 on a fucking Friday. How do you want to grow the game?
No, it was a Tuesday.
Oh, yeah, it was a Tuesday. I don't know why I thought Friday.
My day would be more reasonable.
How do you expect to, like, yeah, I was able to watch it because I worked from home on Tuesday. That's great for me. But that's not the situation for everybody.
Yeah.
You can either, okay.
Look,
so
I understand.
You open
I
it
understand
and,
also the borderline reasoning behind it. The borderline reasoning behind it of, like, hey, they have to play the next day at 7 o'clock. You have to give time for the team to travel. That's the reasoning behind it. But if you can't expect people to be able to make it there.
I agree.
Can't expect people
to
watch that.
I think the part that I don't understand, and I'm sure that it probably has to do with, like, contracts and when games need to be over or whatever, is why the ALCS had to, no matter what, start on Wednesday.
Yeah.
That,
why?
Because if we didn't have a hard start on Wednesday, then we didn't have to play at 4 o'clock on Friday, on Tuesday. And then also, why the fuck were the Phillies and the Padres playing at 2 o'clock in San Diego on a Wednesday when they had an off day on Thursday? Why are you playing an afternoon game? Why are you doing that?
Well, Thursday's your day. Thursday's a travel day.
So why? But my right, you're playing at 2 o'clock. You're gonna get nobody in the stands. You're gonna get nobody to watch. And then Soto loses a ball in the sun. Why are you not playing that game at night? You're traveling the next day. You don't need to be up and ready to go.
Yeah. You don't need to. You don't need the rest of that day to travel.
No. So again, MLB, not to sit here and hark on the scheduling like we did last year or last week. It literally just keeps getting worse.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, what's funny, probably the thing I think is the funniest about this whole weekend is knowing Cleveland fans. Granted, I don't know if you know any Cleveland fans because you're up north. So
yeah,
you probably
we don't have many of those.
Yeah.
But all of my
so
friends
have...
who are Sox fans turned into Cleveland fans.
Turned
and
Cleveland
now they
fans.
Really
yep,
can't figure
sense.
Out who to root for. It's so much fun.
So, the big thing that, like, all these Cleveland fans are saying, or all these not even Cleveland fans, Yankee haters as well. It's like the whole thing of, like, the rain out that we had on Monday. It was like, oh, favored the Yankees because they got to start Nestor and their bullpen was had an extra day of rest. And
first of all,
like, yeah,
our bullpen
Cleveland
could have
started Bieber.
Our bullpen could rest 6 days in a row and we would not match up toe to toe to Cleveland's.
Oh, yeah, 100%. And I mean, there was nothing that Cleveland could have done that means that they couldn't start Bieber. They very much could have started
the
Bieber, especially because Savali is actual dog shit.
Dog shit. Dog
like,
shit.
Everybody knew that.
The only people that rainout benefited was the Houston Astros. No matter who won on Friday, whether it was us, whether it was Cleveland, the team with the leg up was the Astros. And that's the shit I hate.
it was crazy the amount of people that were going along with that really thought that it was like, oh, it just favored the Astros. And like the one kid that I know here that is a Cleveland fan was like, oh, it's because the MLB can't go a playoff without having the Dodgers or the Dodgers, Mets, or Yankees that far in the
first
playoffs.
Of
well,
all
never mind, you
Mets
Houston,
haven't been
dude.
In the playoffs in how fucking long.
Yeah, and I was like, well, first of all, you can look at it of Houston being one of them. You look at San Diego, which is the fastest growing, I think fastest growing in the MLB. Mm-hmm. I don't have anywhere way to not.
But
I have
it
no
just
way
feels
backing
that
up, but it feels
feel
that way. Yeah, and like at the same point, is it? You're looking at it saved one day, so they used Nestor, and that was the only difference. Is we used Nestor,
listen,
and then
I know
we had a third of the amount of fans in the stands.
Like, I know me and you are pro Nestor, but you really think that they were like, oh yeah, let's save the Yankees so they can use Nestor fucking Cortez and not Garrett Cole, or they're spending $7 billion on. Like, I know that I know we didn't
and
bring
not,
out Cole
and not
Star.
Tyone instead.
Yeah, it's like, oh, that's the step we want to take. It's just it was just frustrating. Which I think is a personally the underlying theme of a lot of the Cleveland series for me. Obviously, I'm not frustrated that we won it. I'm very glad that we won it. It's just the fact that it took five games. It took literally Harrison Bader only hitting home runs.
Yeah.
Like, our starting pitchers did very well, I think.
I don't think we've had a single issue with our starting pitchers.
Neither.
At all. I mean, honestly, a little bit of our pitching, but overall, we're not losing. Our games that we've lost have not been completely on our starting pitchers at all.
Our starting pitchers have done great.
Yeah. I mean, we're only giving up, what, like 5 runs a game? Granted, that was against Cleveland, which was the lowest or one of the lowest scoring offenses in the league. But yeah, overall, I feel like our starting pitchers have been doing great. I mean,
Going ahead here a little bit.
Tyone last night.
I don't know if you expected that from him. I did not expect that from him.
I did not. No.
I was a little nervous when Boone said that Tyone was our ALCS game one starter. I was like, are you fucking kidding?
Yeah, that's the comparison that everybody really wanted to look at. They really wanted to see Verlander versus Tyone.
Woo!
That was the dream one that I projected when I was making that bracket.
But I want to talk about Gerrit Cole. Because a lot of the times people really get into this argument of, oh, was Gerrit Cole worth the money? Blah, 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 blah. First of all, was Max Scherzer worth the money, New York Mets? I don't fucking think so. So let's chill out on pointing fingers at the biggest waste of money in New York here. Because first of all, that is not Gerrit Cole, and I don't think it's anybody wearing a Yankee uniform, and that's Giancarlo Stanton too, and we'll get back to him. Gerrit Cole shoved 2 games of 7 innings, correct? Over 100 pitches, 1-run baseball, and then after his game 4 start, showed up to the clubhouse on game 5 and said, I'll give you 2 innings. And Aaron Boone said, shut your face. But with the rain out, guess who was warming up in the bullpen in the 9th inning of game 5?
Yeah. 9th inning, if they got around the order.
Do I think that he was just sent out to the bullpen to stop talking to Aaron Boone? Like he was kind of putting time out? Yes.
Probably. I can see him probably speak. Because just being on the phone constantly.
Be like, hey, I can go warm up now. I'm going to go warm up now. And Boone would just be like, shut the fuck up.
The bullpen phone was ringing the whole game of just Cole. Just I can go in.
You sure you want Wandy in? I can go. Nestor pitching his butt off in game 5, and he's like, "But I'm ready." It's like
I can go.
I'm gonna block.
Coach, you want me to go?
I'm gonna block.
Coach, I can warm up.
I think that we have every right to be overly critical on Gerrit Cole during the regular season because of what we pay for him. But at the end of the day, I always want to emphasize that I am so glad that we have Gerrit Cole in pinstripes, and I'm so glad that we have that type of competitor on the team because he just does not let shit get to him. For example,
I'm gonna be honest. I love that. So that whole thing of, I want to talk about that though. I want to get your opinions on it. So of course, I think literally nobody has not seen the thing that Josh Naylor did, hit a home run. It's 4-1. Now it's 4-2.
TPS needed to stop showing that clip of him rounding second base because he is so clearly mouthing, "That's my fucking child." And I'm like, this is a family show.
Yeah. Running around the bases, excessively doing like rocking a baby and doing all of that. I mean, everybody saw that. And my whole thing about it is, at the moment, I honestly didn't like it because I don't know why. I just kind of was emotional. It was a big moment, but it was a 4. He just made it a 4-2 game, and I was like, there is no reason. Like, I love Josh Naylor. I really do like what he brings to the game. I really like what his personality, his aggressive, psychoticness.
I agree.
Of just how crazy he is.
I just can't look at him and not see Wario.
You're very right.
And I can't get past it.
No, but I like what he's bringing to the game of that whole aggressive mentality, that whole thing of the reasoning behind why he did it makes sense. He calls every pitcher his son or whatever if he hits a home run. Like, okay, cool. I like that. I like that aggressive. But it was you made it a 4-2 ball game.
In the 6th inning? 7th
inning? Yeah. In the 6th inning of game 4. It's wasn't a big enough moment for him to be that outgoing for it, especially with the gem that Gerrit Cole's already throwing. I like the whole reasoning behind it, the whole idea of it. It just wasn't the right time, and I guess it could have been to try to spark something.
That's what I'm thinking.
At the same time, it also sparks We talked about it.
You gotta go back to New York, buddy.
Exactly. Like it. We talked about it with Joe Musgrove. Things like that also trigger the pitcher to throw better. And I mean, there's no pitcher on our team that would ever rock the baby to him, which I think is hilarious. I don't see anybody doing
which
that on our team.
So
maybe Seve. Maybe Seve.
Because Seve's talking a lot of sauce and pressers right now. I don't know if you saw his quotes yesterday. They're like, oh, people are going to be really mad at you in Houston. And he's like, people are mad at us everywhere except Tampa because they have no fans. Ropes.
But like the people who did it, and this is why I like the team that we have now, the people I see who do it, Cabrera, who did do it to him. Cabrera, yeah, caught a line drive in the middle of game five and go, no, you're my fucking son. Or is like, no, you're my son. Love that. And then at the end of the game, Gleyber Torres rocks the baby at second. I love that. And that's something we've talked about for the team. We play a lot like we're in shooting ties, but Cabrera, and I think Glaber's getting into it too, of just kind of breaking that stereotype or that image we have of ourselves of this suit and tie team. And it's going to be so much more fun with Houston, because Houston, even though some of those guys don't have any history with Houston, I think they still have the knowledge of that rivalry, and I think they'll have fun with it.
And I do have to say, I also appreciated Josh Naylor's comments after game five talking about it. He was like, honestly, that was fucking sick.
Yeah, no, like that's so the great. Whole thing of like that. That's kind of why I felt the way that I did about him doing that. Like, you know, I didn't like it at first, but then after game five, if a guy can go talk the shit, either back it up or talk the shit and take the shit coming back at him, exactly. I respect that.
Exactly.
And he gave the shit out, he got the shit back, and he respected it.
The video
fine.
Of the kids that right over the dugout,
right,
as he's coming in is so funny. Gleyber getting a little snippy when someone asked him about it, he was like, yeah, well, he can watch the rest of the series on his TV. Fantastic. And I agree with you a lot, because we've talked a lot about Cleveland in the regular season. I really like Stephen Kwan. Tristan McKenzie's super fun to watch. Josh Naylor looks like Wario, but has fun, you know? But in the postseason, not my favorite people in the world. But I think it's interesting to do a celebration like that to somebody like Garrett Cole. Justin Verlander, similar. Jacob DeGrom, probably
even
similar.
There are people...
Guys,
the mentality side of it
just
won't affect
them. It's not going to bother them. Like, Garrett Cole had a 2-run cushion at that point going into the 7th inning. Like, it's not really going to... That's why in my head I thought that it was more for his team. And I'm not going to lie, my stress levels the last, like, week, through the roof. I am never relaxed. During game 5, we're up 5-1. I by mistake left the dishwasher open during when game 5 started. Giancarlo Stanton hit his 3-run home run. Both of my roommates came home. I go, just don't fucking touch anything. I know that the dishwasher's open, but I need you to keep it the fuck open. Just leave it. Like, that's just me all the time. So I did tense up a little bit when he hit the home run. I was like, oh no, no, no. But then, you know, Wandy Peralta said, surprise, motherfuckers. I am going to be
your
weapon out of the bullpen. But not to get to the bullpen yet. But yeah, Cole starts were great. Sorry, I'm trying to organize my thoughts. I did not write anything down this week. It's been all over the place. But I also want to talk about Nestor's starts, because start one and start two were very different, right?
Yeah.
Start one was not his best stuff.
No, we did well.
He
got into a high amount of jams. Yeah, he got into a high amount of jams. He had times running around second. He had a time bases loaded. Luckily, he got the ground ball right back at to him. But he was
so
looking
athletic.
A lot more
so
rough
athletic.
Than he normally does.
the new
I don't know why he's not up there for a gold glove. But
yeah, that's my question. But that was, in that sense, is kind of how I wanted to start talking about the Yankee offense, is that in game one, distinctly I remember, and I think through most of the series, Cleveland put pressure on our pitchers with runners on base often. You know, we did not, I mean, yeah, we had some 1-2-3 innings, but we did not have many 1-2-3 innings. And you saw it Wednesday night in Houston when we had 17 strikeouts, which I get it. We're playing against Justin Verlander. That's not great. Like, you're going to strike out against Verlander. But we're struggling to get guys on base, because if Glaber or Judge had gotten on before Rizzo hit a home run in the eighth, that's a whole different ball game. You know, then it's 4-3 and not just 4-2, which is the same, very similar to the Josh Naylor situation, is that, okay, Naylor hits a solo home run in the sixth and it's 4-2. You feel a lot more comfortable with that, that with a 2-run lead than a 1-run lead. And our batting average, this, like, we have the lowest team batting average in the playoffs of the four teams remaining. We're swinging like a 220 as a team. And yeah, you were saying that during with the Cleveland series, like, we, Cleveland had what? All of their guys were hitting above 200, and we had two guys.
I think there were like two people. They were, yeah, I think there were one or two people batting below 200, and we had only Rizzo and Donaldson batting over 200. That was it. You had like Trevino was like over, Hicks was over. I mean, of course, Judge wasn't doing well. It was a sharp comparison of the way that the two teams play. We talked about it going into Cleveland. We talked about it last week. It's just Cleveland had that chippiness. Those chip shots. They're all just singles.
The thing is, you can overpower a team like Cleveland, which is pretty much what we ended up doing, is that we just stomped on them eventually. The thing going into Houston is that Houston does both. They hit string together hits, or they hit two double. Like, I'm trying to think in my brain of anybody that had an extra base hit that wasn't a home run.
That's what I was trying to look. I was trying to actually look up if we had any runs, three RBIs for Bader, who had
three home runs.
Or sorry, Judge has three, had three RBIs with two home runs.
Yeah.
Stanton had six RBIs with two home runs. Well, you know, I don't know if we have, I'm trying to.
Cabrera hit a home run. Bader hit how many home runs? Like,
so we have 11 home runs, 22 runs. So, I mean, half of our runs minimum are off the long ball.
But it's not even just, and I'm not anti long ball. I love the long ball. But it's guys getting
but
on.
But it's the 176 average that we have right now.
Jeremy Pena went 3-for-3 with three extra base hits with two doubles and a home run. Why are we one home run and then nothing?
So,
or
looking
you
at
hit
it
one
right
single
now,
and then you're stranded on base.
Looking at it right now, our postseason stats, people with over 200 average, IKF is a 267. Josh Donaldson has a 211.
How? Literally fucking how?
Stanton,
don't even get me started.
Stanton is batting 200. Harrison Bader is batting 263. And the best on our team right now, Anthony Rizzo batting a 316. People, Judge, Torres, even Cabrera.
Yeah, Cabrera
none of them,
has not been hit well.
Trevino has not been hitting well either. Oh my. Those are all people. I mean, especially look at Judge and Torres. Those are crushing to have hitting below 200.
Yeah.
Especially Judge going off of the second best average in the AL in the regular season and now batting 167.
His timing, personally to me, the issue with Judge is his timing just looks terrible. Whenever they show a sideways, like a side shot of him swinging, he's always like 6 inches in front of the ball. Like, what are we doing here? And people are having issues. Do I want to talk good about Giancarlo Stanton, or do I want to talk about problems? Which do you want?
Let's talk. We got to get some good here.
Okay. We can talk about Harrison Bader, but like, it's right there in front of you. Harrison Bader is doing.
Harrison Bader can find the ball and hit the ball far.
Yeah.
Harrison Bader. I want to talk about this app. We're going to talk about this after our season's done, whenever that is. I want to go and go through our trades. Harrison Bader.
I know that we were. I think Yankee fans as a collective were frustrated when the St. Louis trade happened at first, because St. Louis got to see immediate retributions from Jordan Montgomery, and we just got a guy in a walking boot. But yeah. Now I'm pretty happy. I still love Jordan Montgomery. Don't forget that, though. But this stat is from Tuesday, so it's now out of date. But as of Tuesday, Stanton was hitting .455, 5 for 11 with 3 home runs and 5 RBIs in winner-take-all postseason games with the Yankees. Oh, so that is still accurate.
That is still accurate, yeah.
Winner-take-all. But pretty much, Stanton, I think, is the contract that gets more is it worth it, is it not worth it controversy. Do you agree over the Gerrit Cole one?
I don't know. I think Cole gets it a little bit more.
I think the thing is, though, because I think that people say, oh, you pay all that money for a DH.
Yeah.
But whatever. But I stand by the Stanton contract simply for him to play in October. Because what this man does in October is it's insane. You know, and yes, I would love for him to be productive all year long, obviously. Like, that's the goal normally. But what he does in October is out of this world. And I know, Scotty, you were nervous about him playing left field yesterday.
Yes.
After that first double, were you comfortable?
Lex, I didn't watch the game.
Fuck, I forgot you had practice. second batter of the game hit Jeremy Pena. Hits a missile to that stupid,
that 90 stupid, degree.
Yeah, that alley. And, like, Stanton was just like, what the fuck do I do with this? Which is, honestly, first of all, fair reaction. But he got it in to cut him off for a double. He gets two, like, simple fly balls to him. And then he has one that it's, like, a line drive right at him, but, like, above his head. Backhand catch. Right? The ball straight at you is the hardest one. He's going into the wall, yeah. Bounces himself off the scoreboard. Scott, he broke the scoreboard. I wish I was kidding. He broke the scoreboard. Do I want to see him out there every day? No, absolutely not. Never in my entire life did I think that I would be like a little... I don't want to say that I was upset when Aaron Hicks got hurt, but like a little... Oh, no. But... Before then, that was when I thought, okay, I didn't think that I thought Benintendi coming back from a broken wrist was a long shot. But I thought that we'd at least have DJ LeMahieu. But alas. Yeah. But I digress.
I think there's a fine line. I think there's a fine line there because would I have hoped to get DJ LeMahieu? Yes. But if DJ LeMahieu is not 100%, I very much do not want him. We saw him at the end of the year. Well, he's hurt. He is not good at all.
I agree.
And so with him not being full, then I'm fine with not having him. I'm fine with Mr. Ozzie Parazzi.
Ozzie Parazzi! Starting that shortstop today! But I digress. Giancarlo Stanton in the playoffs is a Yankee. Like, that's just... You just feel... Like, I don't know how to explain this, and I don't know if this is going to make sense at all. But, like, when I... see Stanton in the playoffs, I'm like, yeah, he's a fucking Yankee. When I see Stanton in April, I'm like, yeah, I guess he's a Yankee.
Yeah.
But, like, when I see him in the playoffs, I don't know, there's just something about him. Kind of like him at Fenway last year, where you just knew that he was going to hit the ball to fucking Harvard. Like, something just comes over him in October.
Just locks in.
Now, if we're talking about things that make me angry, it's a guy's name that starts with J and ends in Osh. Because Josh Donaldson would do better at the plate standing on his hands.
I do want to let you know that
I don't understand how he's swinging a 216.
I do want to let you know that everybody else that's here that are Yankee fans, I've gotten them onto the same boat as we are. As I look at them and I go, you know, who wouldn't strike out? Gio Urshela.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. Gio might get out, sure. But one, he's going to do it fucking swinging. He's going to do it swinging, or he's going to do a productive out and at least make fucking contact. Josh Donaldson got his knees buckled on 3 straight pitches. What are you doing? What are you doing?
Yeah, so again, here's the thing. Josh Donaldson is batting .211, but he also has the third most strikeouts in the postseason with 9. He is behind Judge and Cabrera.
Yeah,
And
Cabrera.
you're still batting.
I don't want to talk about
Yeah.
Cabrera at the plate
Look,
right
look,
now.
look. Again, this is something I've
It's his
mentioned. It's
first
playoff. It's
postseason.
playoffs. It is a very fine line of it's different. It's a different environment. And especially imagine going playing five games or he'd even play five games. I think he sat. Oh no, he sat last night. He didn't play last night. But you also were going against one of a very good, probably top five pitching staff in Cleveland. Granted, you're not going against an easier pitching staff now.
But here's the thing, right? Oswaldo Cabrera, rookie. Josh Donaldson, brought on to the Yankees because he was supposed to be an
45 years
offensive
old.
benefit to the Yankees versus Gio Urshela. His I will say this week after week, I will sound like a broken record. He was supposed to benefit the Yankees offensively from the third base position, and he just routinely does not. And I saw a lot of people comparing Donaldson's postseason performance to Matt Carpenter's. First of all, Matt Carpenter hasn't seen live pitching since August fucking 4th when he broke his foot and he forced himself to be on the field right now. Of course, I don't want to see Matt Carpenter striking out six times in the playoffs. Yeah, that fucking sucks. But he has a little bit more of an excuse than Josh Donaldson, who's been out there every fucking day and is just not like Matt Carpenter's going down swinging. That's, I think that's what
Josh Donaldson
sucks
has
the most.
132 games played.
Yeah.
132, and that was in the regular season. 132 in the regular season. Matt Carpenter this past year, I gotta find this now, had 47.
Exactly. And did Matt Carpenter still have more home runs than Josh Donaldson?
He ended the year with
15.
15. Josh Donaldson ended also with 15.
That is shocking that you can play like two and a half times the amount of games as another player. Aaron Hicks, you should listen too, buddy. Just listen up. But Matt Carpenter is going down swinging. Obviously, I would prefer him to hit the ball, yeah, but putting him in a, hey, can you pinch hit in the seventh inning when we're losing and we just need you to hit a home run is not a great situation to toss a guy in for his first live major league at bat in 2 months, and then having him start against Hall of Fame Justin Verlander, not the best either.
Yeah.
But Donaldson is not even swinging. Looks lost at the plate and just needs to pack his fucking bags and go. And that is that on that. What? Sorry, I'm like really just bouncing all over the place now.
Nope, it's fine.
Boone today said that he never even thought about putting IKF at third base when he put Peraza in to pinch run for Donaldson. Scotty, now correct me if I'm wrong, and I know that I'm not wrong because I literally said it on this show. Isaiah Kiner-Falefa did beat Gio Urshela for the Gold Glove last year at third base. Am I correct?
He did get a gold glove at
That's what
third
I thought.
base.
That's what I thought. That's what I thought. That's what I thought. So how does that not even cross your mind? And how can you sit in that same exact press conference and say that you're surprised that IKF did not get a gold glove this year at shortstop?
Yeah. Granted, at the same
What
time,
team are
also,
you watching that
I'm
we're
gonna be
not?
fully honest here. Some of the gold gloves are a little messed up. A little messed up.
I agree.
Juan Soto should not be up there.
No, he should not be. But how can you say that a case can be made that IKF
IKF
is a
should be,
Gold
yeah.
Glove finalist? And
Gosh.
to Boone, it's a joke that Josh Donaldson isn't listed.
Dog, Josh Donaldson, and we've said this every time. Josh Donaldson will have plays where he looks like prime Josh Donaldson, then he will also boot a grounder right at him.
And
He
IKF
had
doesn't
a time.
actually know
He
how
had
to
a
catch a ground ball that's hit directly at him.
time even in the playoffs now. He had a time even in the playoffs now where he probably had a double play, but he went and he bobbled and he had to get one. Granted, I don't think it didn't really come out to
And
anything, but like you still have the events like that where like easier plays he's messing up.
who from the AL third baseman's list is he thinking Josh Donaldson is better than? Does he think he's better than Matt Chapman? Does he think he's better than Ramon Arias? Does he think he's
Does
better
it?
than Jose Ramirez? Oh, but then let's take a look at the shortstops just to see who he thinks IKF should have beat out. Did he think that he should have beat out Xander fucking Bogaerts? Jeremy Pena or Carlos Correa? Carlos Correa? I don't know why he is on there. I think that there are better.
Defensively, he did. I think he did defensively well, though.
However, what kind of crack cocaine? I agree with him thinking that Judge splitting time in center field and right field probably, you know, hurts his ability to get a totally fair there. I get you.
Yep.
Other two? You are wild. Jameson Taillon, a surprise.
Yeah.
But
I can't think of much that Jameson Taillon did defensively.
No, the
I can
only
think
pitcher,
of things
the only
Nestor's
pitcher that
done.
I think about defensively is Nestor fucking Cortez.
Exactly.
Sorry, to get back to non-Gold Glove stuff. I don't think it's possible to talk about, and we gotta speed up here because we are cutting close to an hour here. I don't think it's possible to talk about the Yankees ALDS without talking about relievers. Yes, we can talk about the godsend of Wandy Peralta, but I also think that we need to talk about how Boone decided to put Taillon in a relief position instead of a reliever and continues to, as I saw a lot of people explain it on Twitter that I agreed with, he tries to convince us and himself that Clark Schmidt is Michael King.
Yeah, no. Okay, I do have one thing to say. And I said this to, I stood behind this when it happened and when we put Taillon in the 10th. That was the only position that Taillon could go into. If
he
was going
to
be in
up.
The bullpen, exactly. And so for, you know, whatever reason, Taillon is in the bullpen as somebody who's never pitched out of the bullpen and has never pitched in the playoffs. But I said the 10th inning is the only situation because at that point, the 10th inning is a new ball game.
Yeah.
And he can step into it like a new ball game. And so, you know, he can get the time behind it. He can go and kind of refresh his mind. Because if he goes in the 8th inning or something like that, that's going to get to a pitcher.
Playing with a lead.
But being the 10th inning, that was the only reasonable. Yeah, if he has to go in the bullpen, the 10th inning is the only situation he could have went into. Granted, he still shouldn't have been in the bullpen to start. And you can't expect somebody who's never pitched out of the bullpen to be able to pitch out of the bullpen in a playoff game. Garrett Cole can do it because you're paying him $330 million. He's proved it. He's done things like that. Clark Schmidt has shit the bed all through the playoffs.
And it's like,
you know who I haven't seen pitched? And I know you're not going to love my
answer.
No,
I know
here,
what you're going
to
say because
I very much want to see him. We need to see Domingo Herman.
Why?
We need to see him.
Why did we go to Montas on Wednesday instead of Herman? Montas has not pitched in how many fucking months? He has not proven himself as a benefactor to the Yankees pitching staff at all.
Yeah, it wasn't like he was pitching well when he was here.
Yeah.
He wasn't pitching well when he was here.
No.
What's going to change?
And as much as I hate Domingo Herman as a person, the last 2 months of the season, he really started to pitch well. And Brian Hoke literally asked Boone last night, like, is Domingo Herman on the fucking roster? Like, is he hurt? What's going on? And Boone's like, no, he's fine. I just didn't feel like we've had a situation to use him in a long-term relief situation. Taillon came out in what, the 5th inning Wednesday? The 5th?
Yeah. He came out after 5. Yeah,
I'm
five
sorry.
Innings.
That sounds like we still have half of a game left. That sounds like long relief time.
It
Are
was,
you trying
it was
to use Domingo Herman when you're using an opener? Like, what?
Half of a game in what was the situation? It was like a 3-1 ball game?
No, if you're pulling Taillon,
like
it was 1-1. If you're Taillon only let
1-1
up one run. Taillon let up one run. Clark Schmidt gave up two belly-to-belly home runs, and then Montas let up a home run.
And you look at a sharp comparison there. I said Taillon has never pitched through the bullpen. Herman has, through the 92 games he's pitched in, he started 70 of them. That's 22 games that he came out of the bullpen. He's somebody familiar with the bullpen. There are people who are familiar with the bullpen, like Herman, like Seve, and there are people sharply who aren't, who very much cannot come out of the bullpen. And I'm trying to look this up now of Montas. Montas has 129 games played. 99 of them have been starts.
You
so he is at
a guy in
whatever 30. 30, but a lot more games.
He's not proof himself. Montas' call made no sense. And I knew, I think either the day before or the day that the rosters came out, Boone was saying that Montas looked like, quote, looked like the pitcher that we traded for. And I knew the second he fucking said that, that the first time we need relief, Montas is going to get the call. And that's the stupidest decision in the world. And I know me and you, we were pro Montas. I don't know about you. This is not the guy that I was trading for.
I was saying,
isn't the guy that I was hoping to be on the Yankees.
I was saying to my friend, I admitted it. He, the whole time he's been trying to say Montas was bad. And I was like, you know what? I kept backing you up just because I wanted to see him do well. I didn't want the Yankees to have a poor trade, the wrong trade. I wanted them to do well. And he's blown it every single time.
No, exactly. And the same thing with Clark Schmidt. I can't even name. And maybe I'm just, like, drawing a blank, but I feel like Schmidt was not used a lot in the regular season. So why are we suddenly giving him the ball in high-leverage situations?
No, he did not pitch at all. Especially, he did not pitch enough in comparison to how we're using him in the playoffs.
No, and I think the way that people were saying it on Twitter was really making sense to me, is that it's like Boone, like Michael King is in the dugout. It's like he thinks that Clark Schmidt is Michael King.
Yeah.
That's not the same guy.
He had 57 innings.
Yeah. That's not
throughout the whole year. As a reliever, that is not in comparison.
Not the guy that I'm like, oh, that's who I want to give the ball to in the bullpen. I did not expect.
You had Michael King at 51. Innings
and Michael King got hurt
the year.
What, June, May? <Yeah. laughs> it's so frustrating. I did not expect, however, for the arm that we turned to be that of Wandy Javier Peralta.
Hey, he looks like he's been through the stuff. I think he has been through some stuff.
Wandy Peralta is the first pitcher to ever appear in all five games of a divisional series. I'm sorry. You want to know what Wandy Peralta did? He looked at Josh Naylor and he said, "No, you are my fucking child."
And honestly, with how old Wandy looks, probably could be.
And if anybody is going to say that the rainout helped anybody other than the Astros, the only other person that was benefited by it was Wandy, because he didn't have to throw back-to-back days. He got, like, one day of, like, oh, my arm can relax.
That's it.
I know we did not even get to talk about the National League, but if the Yankees were not in the playoffs, we'd have a chance to talk about the National League. But we're a little
bit too- honestly, not much is happening there. They're all upsets. That's it. That's all that needs to be said.
Yeah,
they're still looking at some crazy pitching. You're looking at hitting that's working. It's actually entertaining over there. It's really entertaining. Whatever.
They actually hit the ball as opposed to the Yankees striking out 17 times.
Yeah. I mean, you're still looking at Bryce Harper having insane numbers. Kyle Schwarber hit a ball at 120 miles an hour off his bat, which still didn't cracked the top five hardest hit balls, but that's it.
Okay, but that home run would have left Yankee Stadium twice.
But you know who does hold those numbers above him?
Giancarlo Stanton.
Stanton and Judge. Literally just Stanton and Judge. That's four spots, and I think three of them are Stanton.
Wild, wild, wild. Hopefully, we come to you next week with really great and happy, exciting news. This is where Scotty and I, our paths divulge. Scotty thinks it's going to end up one way. I think magic is going to happen, and it's going to go the other way. You know, I saw a tweet, and this is how I'll end it, is that in, like, the fourth inning of the game yesterday, someone was like, "I have watched this exact Yankee-Astros game 15 times in the last 5 years." It's like, yeah. Yeah, yeah. And I had a Snapchat memory today from like 4 years ago, and it's me sitting in my freshman dorm with a tear rolling down my face, and I'm like, I fucking hate Houston. It's just sign of the times. Scotty's
I have practice, and I just realized I have practice in 20 minutes as well, so I need to get moving.
All right, well, please give us a follow on Instagram. Scotty's absolutely crushing it over there. If you could follow or interact with the show however you can on whatever you're listening to, so you get a notification the next time we post, that would be great. And for Scotty, I am Lexi, and this has been the Pinstripe Podcast. Bye.